Welcome to What Would Leland Do? Today, I'm with my good friend, Dylan. Dylan, say hello, sir.
What is up?
So, today we are talking about Naval Ravikant's tweet storm. I guess we're talking about the lesson number two, or like the second podcast that they did, kind of dissecting the tweet storm. I labeled it, money is the root of all evil. What was the actual like label of it? Do you remember, or like, what was the main idea that you took away from it?
Well, the whole idea was about abundance and how typically we operate from a place of scarcity because, I mean, in terms of like how we've been taught in our economic theory and stuff like that, we're always told that we have to fight for what we want and because there's not enough to go around. So we've been taught from a very young age that scarcity is the way of life and not abundance. So this is kind of this is a bit new age, I would say.
Well, so it's new age until you hear him kind of unpack some of the ideas. So, you know, he says that money's not the root of all evil. And that all wealth was just like stolen from other people. He says that that's not true. But then he says that it is true that there has been a lot of theft and a lot of theft over time, whether it's, I like that he said this, whether it's by the sword or the gun or by taxes or by crony capitalism or by communism, there's all sorts of different ways to steal wealth over time. And that, you know, but there is a bunch of wealth and that wealth is abundant and ultimately like everybody can be abundant if we stop thinking about it as the predator slash prey relationship of like the makers and the takers. The other thing that he says that I thought was really interesting is that like all... It's weird because he does bring up, like, he looks at it very fair, right? He says that, like, all natural systems have parasites. So there are makers and there are takers. But typically you want people, there are makers meaning people who are making and creating wealth. And then there are people who are taking and consuming wealth without creating wealth, without adding value to society. But all nature has that. Like, most nature has a lot of parasites. A lot of them are symbiotic, like they help in some way, like they're filtering out the bloodstream or they're doing things that help. But a lot of people are just takers, and that we got to make sure that, like, you know, you cultivate a balance or a culture of people who are creating more wealth, right? Like that's one of the ideas.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point, certainly, because by that definition, you could define like young children or the super elderly as parasitic in a certain sense, you know, like sure they've contributed to either will contribute to society at some point or have, but they're not currently. So, I mean, even humans could be defined as parasitic, even those that have the best intentions.
Yeah. And he doesn't say that it's bad. You know, he actually says that it's a part of a natural system and that it should be there. So like the people who are the makers, it's a good job. Like it's important. They need to make and create a world of abundance. And that there are going to be people that, you know, are sort of are parasitic. He doesn't use it in the terms of, I think when we hear the word parasite, we think of it in terms of negative, but he uses it very like biological where it's like
reliant on.
Yeah, reliant on. Exactly. Yeah, that's reliant on. And so, but he talks about it more with like the natural systems approach that, you know, there is these relationships that are always sort of present. One of the things that he brings up, because he's really good, because he's Naval is incredibly intelligent and also persuasive. One of the things he says is, obviously, there's not a finite number of jobs or a finite amount of wealth. Otherwise, we would all still be sitting around in caves arguing about how to divide up the occasional dead deer. Meaning, all wealth has been created from somewhere because we used to not have any wealth. that we all started with basically nothing, and now we all have iPhones and we all have cell phones and computers. And so, and he kind of does that to reemphasize this idea. And this is the big theme, is that there's people who are playing the wealth game, which is a game where everybody can be rich, and that's the game that you want to play. And then there's people who are playing the status game, which is, there is a limited number of things, and if I win, you have to lose, or if I lose, like, or I'm losing because you're winning, and that's a zero-sum game. That's a game that ultimately, like, is not sustainable.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of parallels there to many different areas of life. I think how you choose to see the world often says a lot about who you are and how you live your day-to-day life. Like, if you think that there's a finite number of money or wealth or whatever the case may be, you tend to play small because you tend to protect what you have and not take a ton of risk to go out and do that thing that maybe it's ultimately what you want to do, but you choose to play small because society's telling you that, oh, if you make the leap, you could lose everything you have.
Can I just got to chime in a little bit, because some of the people that I work with, like, are, some of them are yogis and, you know, very holistic. And if you think and believe or taught that it's a status game, there's a limited number of stuff, then there's so much guilt around making money, right? Because you think that if I have a lot of money, that's money that I'm taking away from somebody else who has it. And that's not how wealth works, because it's not a status game, right? Wealth is something that you can create, that's new, that's better, that's that adds value. And that has to be true, because, you know, we're not all sitting around a fire arguing about, you know, that's where we were, and now we're in a place where there is wealth and abundance. So it has to be created as we're doing it. But if you have been told that there's a finite number of game, then it would make sense that you have guilt, because, you know, look at my life's pretty good, and I have all this stuff. And if I make more, then, like, I'm just selfish, and I'm just, and that's not really, it's not a useful story, but it's a pattern that plays out all the time, right? People have guilt because they think that if they, you know, if they get wealth, that they're taking it or stealing it from somebody else and they don't deserve it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the one example that he used was talking about vaccines, and, you know, I'm kind of a living, breathing example of how fast things are moving that arena now. Because, like, when I was diagnosed the stage four initially, they told me that I was inoperable. Then the next hospital told me that there was an experimental trial drug, and shortly after I finished the trial drug, because so many other people had done that trial, they had gathered more information, pivoted their research and where they were moving with the formulation of the drug, and had come out with something that had worked even better than what I did, to create this thing that was way more effective with less side effects and a lot more effective in fighting the disease, to where I bought myself time with the trial, and then with the new research, we were able to kill it off completely, and it's helped so many other people fight the disease that normally, stage four melanoma 5 years ago, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, that's a prime example. It goes from where it is to, and who knows where, I mean, you probably know, but, you know, where is it today? Where will it be 5 years from now? How many lives will it have saved? From people getting together, sharing ideas, and coming up with better ideas. Like, that's sort of what he says. And he really reiterates that it's free minds and free markets, and that capitalism has been hijacked by stuff that's not true capitalism. But, like, if you have free minds and you have free markets and you can have people come together to, like, come up with solutions without a bunch of red tape, a bunch of wealth can be created, and everybody can be wealthy in a bunch of different ways. Were there any other notes that you had related to section number two of this?
I don't know. That's just interesting that you brought that up. I studied economics in college. And so it's interesting. One of the assumptions that's made in capitalism is that we all have the same amount of information, like the price in terms of where things are priced. It's because we're pricing it all using the same information. And so,
well, that's
when, when someone has more information, it becomes arbitrage. So that's not true capitalism, you know? So kind of interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, well, so I don't want to get derailed here because that's so the last thing, the last note that I had that hammers home his point about wealth creation is that he says, I would rather be a poor person today than a rich person, I think he says in Louis XIV time or in the 1400s. And the reason is that a poor person today, from we talk about general wealth, access to healthcare, a quality roof over your head, access to food, like
indoor plumbing.
Yeah, indoor plumbing, especially, you know. So, so while it's easy to, you know, poo-poo at where we are and want more, it's like, you know, you're way better off today than anybody before you, by far. And even if you're not where you want to be today, you're way better off than a rich person was 100, 200 years ago. And so that's what wealth does over time. And so, you know, in the future, as we continue to hopefully have a free market, and later in the podcast, he makes a distinction between socialism, which he would say is a status game, and capitalism, which is not, and like what that does. But so anyway, thank you for joining me. I think that was good for podcast number 2 on Naval's wealth rants. Anything else we want to say before we sign off?
No, I would just say, like, you know, this is our second episode on his rant. If you haven't checked it out yet, I definitely recommend it. The dude is brilliant. He's definitely going to open your eyes to some things that you're probably not aware of. So yeah, take a look and check it out.
Cool. Thanks, guys.